Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Many of you are probably familiar with Psalm 90. It's the only psalm of Moses. It is the earliest psalm. And it's that great psalm where Moses says, "Teach us to number our days." That is his central prayer request. That is the title of the message today. It comes from Psalm 90, verse 12. "Teach us to number our days." Moses, as you know, was a man of God. And as Jason read this morning, Moses knew of Jesus Christ. He knew there would be a prophet coming after him that would be like him. And Jesus is that prophet. So this is a man of God who knew of the Messiah, and he is teaching us great wisdom for how to live for him. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Verse 1, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction or to dust. And you say, 'Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night.' You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands." This is a song about the brevity of life. How many agree that life is brief? Yeah, the older people's hands, our hands go up right away. Life is very brief. Job said, "My days go by swifter than a runner. They fly away and they see no good. They pass by like swift ships or like an eagle swooping down on its prey. Here and gone." James says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." There are many word pictures in Scripture to tell us life is very brief. But this song is not just about that. It's not just about the brevity of life. It is how to live life in light of that reality. Moses' main prayer request, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Interesting. Moses was probably not young when he wrote this. And he certainly was not unwise. But as wise as Moses was, there was one area in which he wanted to be wiser still. And he knew that it was the same for all of his fellow Israelites. This is a corporate prayer. This is not just teach me to number my days, though Moses would have said he needed that, and so do I. Now this is teach us as the people of God to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number them is a request for discernment, which we've been studying in Sunday school. Help us to be discerning about how to use our days, to not waste them. Teach us to count them as precious and to make each one count. Time is a gift. Time is a gift that is given to you by God, and it is measured in hours and minutes and days. And every one of us is a steward of the time entrusted. You are a steward of your days. And what is desired in a steward is that one be found faithful. Very good. The truth here is that we all need to learn to number our days. We all need to learn, as Paul puts it, to redeem the time, because the days are evil. We all need to learn to be better stewards of this precious gift of life, just as Christ taught in many of his parables. We do not want to be like the foolish steward who wasted what had been entrusted to him. But why is that? Why do we need to learn to number our days? And how do you do that? Because this psalm is here in order to teach us. The rest of the psalm shows us the answer. From the rest of the psalm, we're going to find five truths that will help us to see not only why we must learn to number our days, but also how. Five truths to help us to see why and how to number our days. Truth number one, and you're going to see they add up, okay? We're going to go through them, but the key is to add them in the end. Truth number one is that God is our dwelling place in all generations, verses 1 and 2. God is our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 1 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So where did Moses live? Egypt? Yes. Midian? Yes. Mount Sinai? The wilderness of Zin? Yes. And in all those places, he learned this great statement, wherever you go, there you are, and so is God. You've probably heard, wherever you go, there you are, right? Well, wherever you go, there you are, and there is God. He's our dwelling place. God is omnipresent, everywhere present at the same time. God is here right now, and he sees what you're doing with this time. He sees what you're doing this very second. He sees your attitude towards his word. He sees what's happening in your mind. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. This is why we need to learn to number our days. Because our days are lived out before an all-seeing and all-holy God. We live in his holy presence. He sees what we do with time. And this truth also helps us to know how to number our days. Here's how to number them. Live in light of this reality, that you live in the presence of God, that every day he gives you is a gift for you to use for his pleasure. How did Jesus live? He said, I live doing only those things that please the Father. This is how to number your days. Truth number two. So number one, you got to add these up. Number one is that God is our dwelling place in all generations. Truth number two is that in all generations, God is turning us back to the dust because of our sin. In all generations, God is turning us back to the dust because of our sin. Verses 3 to 9. Verse 3, you turn man to destruction or to dust, and you say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. In other words, an entire generation passes by, as it were, in a single day, if you measure that generation compared to eternity. They're like a watch in the night. Verse 5, you carry them away like a flood. Now, thanks to modern technology, all of us, even if you've never been in a flood, you've seen what a flood can do. The water rises up and it takes a house away that had been there for years. Moses is saying, that's the way it is with us. The floodwaters rise up, and the next thing you know, 23,000 people are dead. Thousands disappear in a second. God sweeps man off the scene the way floodwaters sweep away a house. Here one day and gone the next. Or they're like a sleep. You wake up and suddenly, he's gone. You wake up and suddenly, She's no longer here. It's true. Many of us have lived through that. And it's sad, but it's a reality. In the morning, they are like the grass which grows up. Oh, look, a little sprout. Oh, he's such a cute little sprout. You ever say that? In the morning, they're like a grass which grows up. Verse 6. In the morning, this is later in the morning. Later in the morning, oh, it flourishes and grows up. Oh, she's getting so tall. So big, right? It is so big. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. Next thing you know, people are saying, oh, yeah, she's no longer here. Oh, yeah, no, he's not here anymore. Moses is saying, listen, life goes by as if it were a day. People pass off the scene as if the floodwaters had come and wiped them off. Man's life in the scope of eternity is like one day. And in every generation, the same thing happens to everyone in that generation. It doesn't matter what generation you are, generation X or generation, I don't keep track of all the letters and numbers and names they give to generations. But in every single generation, the exact same thing happens to everyone in that generation. They all die. I know you can say, well, Enoch walked with God and then he was not, for God took him. Okay, well, he passed off also. God turns us all back to dust. And why is that? Well, from Genesis 3, you recall, we learned that death is the righteous judgment of God for original sin, but it is also the righteous judgment of God for our own sin, verses 7 to 9. Verse 7, take a look. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have ever been angry and justifiably so? Like, you were angry and you felt like, I have every good reason to be angry here. You ever had that? Okay. I'm sure you've had it. Well, listen, you should be able to understand God then. Because we live in the presence of an all-seeing God. He sees all of your sin, even your so-called secret sins, which aren't secret. He sees everything you say. He sees everything that you do. He sees how you use life. He sees how you misuse life. He sees how you use your mind. He sees how you abuse your mind. Not only that, he hears all of your complaining. Because think about the context. Moses led, it is estimated, 1 million people out of Egypt, out of bondage in Egypt. And then he led them across the wilderness for 40 years towards the promised land. And here is God's own very brief summary of that entire generation that Moses led. Here it is. They saw my works for 40 years, and I became angry. They always went astray in their hearts. That's Hebrews 3. That's God's summary of the entire generation that Moses was leading. And Moses saw people passing away every single day. More and more death. Here's another one. This is not a one-sentence summary, but it is an important summary of the people who crossed the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10. With most of them, the people of that generation, the people under Moses' leadership, with most of them, God was not well pleased. You know how we know? Because their bodies were scattered all across the wilderness. That is quite a picture. That's a picture of, you have a satellite image view of the wilderness, and there are corpses everywhere. And the reason why is because God was angry. He didn't like how they were living. Well, how were they living? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:6, they became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things like they lusted. And we should not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. That means 23,000 died in a day. Nor let us tempt Christ like some of them tempted Christ. Catch that? In the wilderness, they were tempting the Messiah. Sermon for another day. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted Christ and were destroyed by serpents. Nor let us complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. You wonder how many people numbering their days are living out their days complaining. It's not the way to live life. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written down for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. The Israelites under Moses are an example to us, a bad one. A bad example of how not to live out our days. God was angry with them, and one after another, sometimes individually and sometimes as groups, they died. One man did the math, and he concluded that on average, there were 40 funerals a day during the wilderness wanderings. 40 funerals a day. How many funerals did you do this week, Moses? Oh, we had 40. How many this week? 23,000. Because they didn't just die on a regular basis, right? It wasn't consistent. One day there'd be 23,000, then maybe none for a while. Why was this? Why do we all die? Verse 8, Psalm 90, verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. You might say, well, this wasn't under the gospel era. No, Moses knew the gospel. Moses is a man of God. Moses is a believer. He's a believer in the return of God. He's a believer in the coming of the Messiah. He knows that God is a God who forgives sins, and yet he knows that sins still provoke God. And guess what? If you profess to be a child of God, and you think that your sins don't matter, you're deceived. You're completely deceived. Please don't answer this question out loud and don't raise your hand. But I'm just going to ask you, do you have any secret sins? Do you have any secret sins? Sins that, you know, pretty much everyone else here, they wouldn't know, but you know. You know what you're doing. You know that sin that you commit. Well, I've got a couple things to tell you. One is, they aren't a secret. Your sins are not a secret. And if what you're doing is trying to keep it a secret so that others don't know, this makes you guilty of hypocrisy, which is a sin that provokes God especially to wrath against you. True. God hates hypocrisy. And God sees all of it. Moses says, verse 8, you have set our iniquities before you. Our secret sins are in the light of your countenance. Verse 9, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Here's a 1 second summary, maybe 2 second summary of how we all finish life. That can be the last 10 years, right, of life. This is why we need to number our days. It's because our days are numbered. God is our dwelling place in all generations. And in all generations, God is turning us back to the dust. Why? Because of original sin and because of our continuing sin. But this also should help you to know how to number your days. And the lesson is, don't live in sin. Don't live for sin. Don't live with sin. Do not tolerate sin. He said, well, are you trying to get us to not sin? The Apostle John wrote 1 John saying, I write these things so that you won't sin. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. But don't think that that lessens the severity of sin, right? You shouldn't go, well, it doesn't matter if I sin. No, it matters if you sin. This is why we must number our days. Truth number three. The first is that God is our dwelling place in all generations. And number two is that in all generations, God is turning men back to the dust, back to the dust. We're all dying because of our sin. And truth number three, and this really hits home. This gets even closer to the request. And we don't know the power of God's anger. Verses 10 and 11. The days of our lives are 70 years. That's still true today, right? I mean, plus minus, average lifespan. Days of our lives are 70 years. Now notice this. This is a real, I told somebody this week, I've got a fine. Well, here it is. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, now stop there. Think about this. Let's say that by reason of strength, maybe you got a strong bloodline, maybe you got strong genes, maybe you've been trying to stay fit, or maybe you've been eating bacon every day and smoking cigarettes and still you beat the odds, because that happens too. somehow, let's say, by reason of some kind of strength, you live to 80. In other words, you beat the odds. You go beyond the average lifespan. What is the boast of those added years beyond the average lifespan? Because that's what he's asking here. If by reason of strength they are 80 years, look what he says. Yet their boast, that's the boast of the years beyond the average, the boast of the latter years, their boast is only labor and sorrow. Look, everything after the average is hard work. I mean, I'm already starting to think, I know 70-year-olds are going to attack me later, and 80-year-olds even worse. But I'm telling you that even at 55, I'm feeling like life is more uphill than it used to be. It was sort of like maybe a coast for a while, but now it's like, man, everything seems like it's, are we going uphill now? Does this uphill stop? I mean, I don't know what over the hill is. I just feel like things are more uphill than they used to be. Their boast is only labor and sorrow. Everything becomes hard work and sorrow because you see more years of pain, more years of suffering, more years of dying, more years of death. And then you die anyways. He says, and then it's soon cut off and we fly away. Draw a lesson from this. Living longer than everyone else is probably not all it's cracked up to be if somebody's cracking it up to be something. You know, I think you'd be better off living your life all out for the Lord and dying at 33. You know anybody who lived all out for God and died at 33? Jesus Christ. You are better off living all out for the gospel and dying at 33 than trying to do all you can to preserve your earthly life and not live for God and die at 120. Now, if you live all out for God and die at 120, super. You live your entire life for God. But don't live it not for God in order to try and preserve your earthly life. That is a massive mistake. Verse 11, who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. There's an interesting question. Who knows the power of God's anger? Anybody? 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 No. I want you to imagine that we have on the wall here several gauges, like, you know, gas gauges. We're all familiar with the empty, full. Three wrath of God gauges on the wall. And wrath of God gauge number one is, what is the power or the intensity level of God's wrath towards America right now? Where does it stand? Empty? It's not empty. Is it full? Is it half, three quarters? And the answer is, we don't know. All right, next gauge, wrath of God gauge. What is the gauge of God's wrath toward churches in America today? Think God has any reason to be angry with some churches in America today who are tolerating immorality? Read Revelation 2 and 3. I have this against you. I have this against you. So where does that gauge stand, the wrath of God towards American churches today? Gauge number three, the wrath of God towards, and then put in your name. The wrath of God towards me. The wrath of God towards you. Where is that right now? From what God has seen in your life, where does that gauge stand? Those 23,000 who fell in Israel in a day because they were committing sexual immorality with Moabite women, do you think they knew that that would be their last day on earth? You think that people who die because of their sexual immorality or people who die because of their foolishness or their wickedness, you think they knew that that was how they would die? And you might say, oh, come on. God doesn't just take people out today because of their sin. 1 Corinthians 11:29, in the context of communion, he who eats and drinks communion in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, because of people taking communion who are living in sin, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That means many have died because they partook of communion in an unworthy manner. Oh yeah, God is still in the business of taking people out. Listen, beloved, we don't know the power of God's anger, nor do we fear him as we ought. Verse 11, as the fear of you, so is your wrath. In other words, there's a direct relationship between these two. Where there's no fear of God and men engage in willful sin against him, great is his wrath against them. Where there is great fear of God, that wrath gauges down. But the fact that we don't know the level of his anger and the fact that people die every day indicates that we probably don't fear him as we ought. This tells us why we must learn to number our days. And it also helps us with how. Number your days living in the fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Moses knew very well. He had witnessed so much sinfulness among the people of God in the wilderness. He had witnessed so much suffering that resulted from sin. And he had seen so much death. He knew we desperately need God's help to know how to live our lives. Because apparently we don't know. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days. I mean, this is more passionate than it looks. This is more intense and urgent than it seems. Oh God, I see that we live in your presence. I see that you're holy. I see that people are sinful all around me, even people who profess to know you. I see that people are dying right and left. I see that people are squandering their lives. I see that people are concerned about themselves. I see that people are selfish and wicked and immoral. Oh God, teach us to number our days. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? That doesn't mean it's the starting place at some point in time. That means it's the foundational principle every single day. If you don't fear God, you're a fool. And you know what? I can tell often when I'm preaching that there are people who don't fear God. I can just look around and I can see people who have no fear of God. I can tell. They don't know. He says, teach us to number our days, to live them not in sin, to not squander them, but to count them in such a way that what? That we might gain a heart of wisdom, that we might come to a heart of wisdom. Some translations say that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. That word gain is a very common word. It means come to or bring forward, and it could be either one. Imagine if we as God's people, imagine if we in New Life Bible Church, it's hard to imagine. Imagine if every single one of us so learned to number our days that not one of us was living in sin. That not one of us was wasting his life on worthless things. That every single one of us was living life for God every single day. Wouldn't that be great? That was Moses' prayer. Moses' prayer was, teach us to number our days so that all of us would present to you, would gain from you a heart of wisdom. Why? Because God is our dwelling place in all generations. He sees everything we do, verses 1 and 2. Because in all generations, God is turning us back to the dust because of sin, verses 3 to 9. Because we don't know the power of God's anger and we don't fear him as we ought, verses 10 and 11. And because, and here's truths number 4 and 5 very quickly. Because if we knew how to number our days, then we would live wisely before him. And truth number 5, if we knew how to number our days, we could rejoice and be glad all of our days and then see the glory of God. Look at his final request, 13 to 17. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. In other words, turn from your wrath against us and teach us. Many say this probably was prayed right after yet another group of Israelites were killed. Verse 14, O satisfy us early with your mercy. In other words, the mercy of forgiving our sins, the mercy of teaching us to number our days so that we won't continue in sin. Satisfy us early with your mercy so that we might rejoice and be glad all of our days. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. In other words, we've seen enough days of evil. We've seen enough suffering and affliction and death on account of sin. So teach us to number our days that we could be happy. Verse 16, let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord of our God be upon us. You ever been to Las Vegas or Cripple Creek? You know, we have kids who live in Las Vegas these days. And so we went down and we're walking by and we saw quite a few elderly people just doing this. Right? Money in the slot, pull the lever. Money in the slot, pull the lever. I don't know if that makes you angry or sad or a mix. But I'll tell you what makes me angry and sad, and it's a mix. Seeing people who profess to believe in Christ waste their lives. Just wasting their lives. Maybe that's with video games. Maybe that's with television. Maybe that's with worthless pursuits. But to see someone who's actually taking life and just flushing it down the toilet. And you know what? Listen, beloved, there are older people who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ who waste their days. They could be doing something else, but they absolutely waste their days. That's a sad sight. You know what's a beautiful sight? When he says here, verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be on us. You know what's beautiful? Is when you see older people who could justify doing nothing and they're living all out for God. You ever seen that? I mean, that is a beautiful thing. That's what Moses is praying for. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be in us. Let it be that all of us, even our elderly, are living our lives for Christ and the gospel. I was talking to Brother Brian. I said, what would you say to an older person? Somebody comes to you and says, I'm not you, Brian. We can't all be Brian. How do I live my life for God? And you know what he said? You need to show up and get to know people. Just show up and get to know people. That doesn't take much. And once you get to know people, you find out that people have needs. You find out there are people who don't know things. They could benefit from your wisdom, your experience. And I love that advice. Just show up and get to know people. But you know what? Some people, they won't even show up. And others, if they do show up, they don't take time out to get to know people. Verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Listen, the good news of the Bible is that although God is our dwelling place, although he sees all that we do, and although we all sin against our God, although we're all deserving of death, God in his grace sent his Son Jesus Christ into this world to be the Savior for sinners. And to that end, Christ lived a sinless life. He knew how to number his days. He lived his life doing what pleased the Father, including this. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you know what is the application of those verses? Those are some of the greatest verses in all the Bible. They give us the gospel that Christ left heaven. He went way, way out of his way to bring salvation to us. What is the application? Here it is. And it's the, I think he got it out of Psalm 90. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. That's a math term, just like number our days. Take this gift of salvation, a life where you know Jesus Christ and you know the gospel and you have this life on the earth. Take that and work out what you're going to do with this salvation. Work out your own salvation. Figure out what you're going to do with your saved life, but do it with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Are you spending your days living for Jesus Christ? Do you desire, like Moses, to do even better? If so, rejoice. That's a good indication that you're saved. Keep going and pray, teach me to number my days. Are you spending your life for yourself? Spending your life for the world? Are you wasting your days? If so, I call upon you today to repent. There's no other way out of you wasting your life than to confess it as sin to God today and turn from it. Humble yourself and pray and say, Lord, teach me to number my days. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for Psalm 90. We thank you for Moses. I thank you especially for the great example, the beautiful example of people who are older than myself and yet still living all out for Jesus Christ and the gospel. Lord, I pray on behalf of all of us, teach us to number our days that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. In Christ's name, amen.